Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Last week we completed verse 13. So this week we're ready for verses 14, 15, and 16, which we call this point the results. The results of what has been said previous. Let's read verses 14 through 16. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. While the church cannot reach in this life, and even hesitate to say that because it immediately sounds like we're trying to make an excuse, but just listen to the rest of it. While the church cannot reach her goal in the literal sense before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the air, she is to make an ever-growing progress. And this is done by continually walking worthy of the calling wherewith we've been called. Amen. Previous context. In humility. In meekness. In long-suffering. In forbearing one another in love. And exerting, putting forth the greatest effort to unity of the Spirit. And not only that, but the continual faithful exercise of the gifts which he's given to, in this case, the Ephesian church. In our case, the Church of Melbourne, Grace Baptist Church.
Amen.
Here at Melbourne, Florida. We are to be exercising those gifts. Even the gifts of the apostles and prophets. They're right here.
Amen.
The apostles and prophets wrote the New Testament that we have under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But he used the apostles and prophets to write them. And so we're to be looking to these things and exercising those teachings that are there, along with the other gift that he's given us to edify and to build up this body here. And the results of us walking worthy in the manner he prescribed and exercising faithfully those gifts that have been given to us, the results of this walk are given to us in these verses that we just read. Verses 14, 15, and 16. That is, that you be no more children. We're not to be children in the faith. That is, we're to be growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to be bringing about stability in our individual lives as members, but as we're a member of the Grace Baptist Church, it brings about stability in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Both doctrinally, oh, there are many that pride themselves on the fact that they're sound doctrinally, but they know nothing of the practice of living a holy and righteous life, of being adults. We're going to see that in some of the scriptures that we look at today. It's talking, this is an exercise in our life. We see it not just being sound in the doctrine. Turn with me to 2 Peter, and we reference this verse often, but we'll turn there this afternoon. I think it's been a while since we've turned to chapter 3 of 2 Peter in verse 18. And everything that he admonished them concerning not being as scoffers and realizing that the Lord's tarrying in his coming is his long suffering till that last chosen one that has been predestinated to be conformed to his image has been saved. And then we can, at that time, will be the heavens and earth be purged with fire, and a new heaven, a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And knowing all these things, and it is the long-suffering of God, he says. So verse 18, he says, but grow in grace. Until then, we're to be growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. As we've already referenced the fact and the idea that this growing in grace and in knowledge, the knowledge of God's Word, an understanding of the Word of God is God's grace, but also then being able to take what we learn from the Word of God and put it into practice in our daily lives is God's grace upon us too. As well. It's all of grace. And so we ought to be growing in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, Old Testament scripture. And if you are my friend on Facebook or the friend of the church on Facebook, you may have seen this post this morning, Psalm chapter 92. In verse 12, the righteous shall flourish as the palm tree. Think about that. The righteous shall flourish as the palm tree. And when you dig into that word flourish, it simply means to bud, to sprout forth, to shoot forth blooms. Well, we love blooming trees and flowers, don't we? We love to look at those things. They beautify the earth. We see God's handy work in them. But that he gives us the likeness of the palm tree, and the righteous are to flourish as the palm tree. We're to be sprouting forth buds and blooms. But notice, he says, he shall grow, increase, make increase like a cedar in Lebanon. Now, these palm trees out here, they get quite tall and flourishing. And they're beautiful to watch in a hurricane. I mean, they give. There's some give to them, but they don't break. You see? And like to say in those strong winds, well, God's just pruning his trees. You know, gets all that dead stuff out of there and prunes them out. But in like, he shall grow like the cedars in Lebanon. In other words, he's going to surpass the palm trees. While the palm tree is glorious, but think about those cedars of Lebanon that grow into a mammoth tree, big tree. How elegant they are. I've never been out to California and been able to see the redwoods. I've only seen pictures of the redwoods out there and big, and some of them big enough they got four-lane highways going through them. You know? That's huge. Yeah. Brother Ron says they're awesome. He's seen them. You know, I could just imagine going out there and looking up there at that big thing, and it's a tree. It's God's handiwork. And we're to be growing like that. We're not to be satisfied with being the state of a palm tree, but we're to be growing into something bigger and more magnificent than the palm trees. Colossians, the book of Colossians, another instructions from the Holy Spirit by the Apostle Paul. In Colossians chapter 1, in verse 10. And boy, it really sounds like Paul. It sounds like the chapter we're in Ephesians chapter 4. That we might walk worthy, there it is again, of the Lord, unto all pleasing. Do you need me to define that for you? Simply stating, our walk is to be one that is pleasing to the Lord. All pleasing. Every step of the way is to be all pleasing to the Lord. Being fruitful in every good work. Consider this. We have in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, be no more children. Children cannot be fruitful. Children cannot bear fruit. They have to grow up. They have to grow up to bear fruit. So you can't bear fruit as a child in the faith. You got to grow up. You got to be growing up into maturity, into adulthood to bear fruit. Well, let's continue to read. In every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So here he's talking about increasing in the knowledge of God and bearing fruit in every good work. So see, that knowledge that we receive is to be working. It is to be producing good works which are bearing fruit for the Lord. Wow. Isn't that a wonderful verse? And there again, I have to ask myself, boy, am I doing that? Am I taking that which I'm taught and have an understanding of? Do I really have an understanding of it? You see, if I'm not practicing what I've learned, then I don't have a real understanding of it yet. You got it? That can be said of every one of us. If we say that we're learning something, we understand something, we say we know these scriptures, but we lack the practice of it, then it's obvious that we don't really know them. We really don't have an understanding of him yet. If we're void of the practice. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. Labor of love. And all of us are to be laboring in love. Love is a labor. It's a work. It's an action. It's not just words. It's not just a feeling. But it's a labor. It's something that is worked at. And patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Patiently waiting for that hope that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. All the while laboring in love. I say I love the Lord Jesus Christ. You say you love the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, are we proving it? By our labor? By our works? You see, if we really love the Lord, that'll be motivating us into action. In the Spirit, in the sight of God and our Father. So let's read this over. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. There is to be a laboring, increasing in love and work for the Lord Jesus Christ and thus being pleasing to Him in all things. Now, obviously, this does not mean this that you be no more children. Does not mean that we cease to be the children of God. As some would say, well, you know, you do a bad work, you do a bad deed, you sin, then you've lost. You cease to be a child of God. You know, yeah, once you're saved, you're always saved. I couldn't do anything to get saved. As the paralytic this morning, he was in a hopeless and helpless state. He could do nothing to take himself to Christ. He needed others to show him the way, to lead him to Christ. And so, because I can do nothing for my salvation, I can do nothing to keep myself saved. I'm powerless to do anything in regards to my salvation. But praise God, God Almighty, He was able to save me. And praise God Almighty, He's the one by whose power I am kept. Amen. 1 Peter 1:5. Kept by the power of God. Praise Him. So, doesn't mean that we cease to be the children of God. That's an impossibility. Impossibility. I'm in His hand, and no one, no man, and nothing can pluck us out of His hand. He is greater than all. John 10, Jesus said. Now, consider the word children. The word literally means infants. We as believers, and especially members of the Lord's church, Church at Melbourne, as he was talking to the Ephesians, the church at Ephesus, and so he speaks to us today here at Grace Baptist Church, are to be coming full grown. We're to be coming to adult status. We've moved beyond the infancy stage. Be no more children. Be no more infants. Turn with me to a passage of Scripture that we've gone to, well, several times here of late. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 5 and verse 11, we're told here, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Slow to hear. Consider children on that note. Sometimes children are kind of dull of hearing, aren't they? They heard you just fine. But they're slow to respond the way you want them to. Many times I found myself, didn't you not hear me? They were dull of hearing. Slow to hear. And so he says, these Hebrews were slow to hear. Many of us are slow to hear. That's a trait of a child. That ought not to be us. That ye be no more children. See, verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, in other words, you've come to faith in Christ Jesus long enough ago. I've instructed you enough. Others have instructed you enough. You ought to be able to be teachers now. Plain and simple. But you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. You have need that someone go over the first basic things about salvation, about the gospel of Jesus Christ, about faith in Christ Jesus. It's not of works. It's of grace. You have no part in it. You can't merit salvation. Those things. You have teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. They were of the time they should have been eating and digesting strong meat, been able to be teachers of the Word of God. But no, they had one that teach them what be the elementary things of the doctrine of Christ. Milk, he calls it. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He doesn't have the skill of the word of righteousness. All he knows, praise God, I'm saved. Well, praise God you're saved, but after a while you ought to be progressing on from that state. Right, amen. Moving on. Bigger and better things, we say. You see. For he is a babe.
Just a babe, and so you have no skill in righteousness.
A babe, an infant, a child, has no skill in a lot of things. And they lack, as we're going to see, they lack the understanding, and they lack the dexterity, and everything to even perform some task and things. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age. In other words, they've grown to adult status. They're grown up. They've moved on past the infancy stage, and they've progressed in the Word of God, and they're eating the meat of the Word of God, digesting it. Full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. To discern both good and evil. They can judge between the two. An infant can't. A child can't.
That's a train. They're training. You got to train them. You got to train them in the difference between good and evil.
One who's just elementary in the doctrine of Christ, he lacks the skill. He lacks the ability to understand the difference between all things good and evil. You see, and so,
well, as we're going to find out, his life is carnal.
Carnal, because he's not putting off things that he ought to be putting off, and he's not putting on things that he ought to be putting on. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, leaving those elementary things, those first things, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. So as he was speaking to Jews here, the Hebrews, there was the tendency on their part to want to go back into the practice of Judaism. And they were just babes. They didn't know that you don't have to have anything to do with that. Christ is the fulfillment of all that. You see, we have something much better in Christ. And they should have moved past that and seen that and been moving on in Christ Jesus. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I told you that a child in the faith is a carnal Christian. Well, don't take my word for it. Take the word of the Lord for it. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 and 2. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. I had to speak unto you as carnal. Because that's where you're at. That's what you are. You're a carnal Christian. Even as unto babes in Christ. You see? They're children. They're babes. They're infants in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto from the day of your salvation until the present time, I've had to feed you with milk because you were not able to bear it. You're not able to bear anything else. You were not able to bear strong meat. Couldn't handle it. And you should have been able to. Neither yet now are you able. Even now you're still not able to.
And how many of God's people are in that boat today? In that state today? And there again, I have to ask myself, am I? Am I? Do I? Is there in the endeavor in my life to put to practice all things which He's taught me from this glorious book? Look at what he said in the 14th chapter to the Corinthians, in his first letter. In verse 20, he said, "Brethren, be not children in understanding." Now, I've known some people who were of the age, 40, 50 years old, they ought to have had a better understanding of some things than they had. We've all known them. I used to have no use for them. Lord has taught me patience over the years. I have to be patient with all folks. They may have gotten irritated with me because of some things I understood or didn't understand as well. That's what the Lord's brought me to show. I mean, who am I to think that my understanding is perfect? I'm talking about things of the world right now. You know, a big saying of mine has been in the past, they lack common sense. They have no common sense. And I used to say that quite frequently about today's generation. You know, there's some things that just seem like they don't have to be taught to you. They should just come as common sense. Common sense ought to teach that to you. You know, but let that be as it may. He said here, "Brethren, be not children in understanding." We're not to be children in our understanding of spiritual things. "Howbeit, in malice, ill will, doing injury to others, be children." Because, you know, for the most part, children aren't filled with ill will and conniving how to injure someone. They may injure, but unintentionally. They have to be taught. Well, you do this, you're going to hurt someone. So you don't want to do this because you may hurt someone. You see. So we're to be children in ill will. In malice. But not in understanding. We're to grow in understanding. But in understanding, be men. Quit you like men. What's that mean? Where he says that. And I think that's in the Corinthians, 1st or 2nd Corinthians. Quit you like men. That means be a man. Act like a man. In other words, what's he saying? We're not to be as a child, as a young lad, we're to be men. We're to be grown up. And we're not to be children in understanding, but we're to be men. We're to be adults in our understanding of things spiritual. And he says, tossed to and fro. Be not children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine,
The likeness is here to a, well, to a child. The child can be tossed all around. They have no strength or ability to resist. They have no strength and ability in as far as things good and evil. What's right, what's wrong. They continually have to be taught that. So therefore they can be tossed to and fro. It's like a ship in stormy seas. With every strong wind that comes about. And so it'll be with everyone who does not fortify himself against raging, violent, boisterous waves of evil spirits, false doctrine, false behavior. Behavior that's not appropriate, proper. A child of God. Turn with me to the likeness. Of course, James doesn't necessarily compare it as children, but he uses the scenario of a ship. Turn with me to James chapter 1. In verse 6, he said, But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He's a child. He says, as an infant, he can be tossed here and there and yonder. And this was the apostle's theme, the apostle Paul's theme. The Holy Spirit used him to write this, and we've seen his instructions to the Corinthians. He battled the fact that they were being children in Galatians, the book of Galatians. He deals with the Galatians on the avenue of their return into Judaism practices, the practices of Judaism, and particularly wanting to ascribe works to salvation. And so he said here in Galatians chapter 1 and in verse 6, he said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Why are you being tossed about and being removed into this, which is another, not another? I mean, the Christians, Jews, which were in the churches of Galatia, had influenced, because of their past life in Judaism, had influenced those Gentile Christians in the churches of Galatia that they needed to be circumcised, or they can't really be saved. Paul says, I'm marvel that you're so soon removed. You've been tossed from that to this. So he said in Galatians 3, in verse 1, Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. It's all in Jesus Christ. It's not in circumcision of the flesh. You see. And then, lastly, notice what he says in the book of 1 John. Now, this not
admonishment, but it goes along with this thought that we can't be children, because if we're children of the faith, in the faith, we'll be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Look at what he says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. What happens if you believe every spirit? You get tossed. You get tossed. But try the spirits, whether they have God. A child lacks the understanding and the ability to do it. They lack the skill to be able to try the spirits. You must be grown up. You must be growing to be able to discern the spirits. Try the spirits, whether they be are of God. Because many false prophets are going out into the world. And let me tell you, this was at the writing of 1 John 4. There are already many false prophets gone out into the world. And if there were many back in John's day at the writing of this letter, how many more do we have today? Hereby know ye that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And that this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now, already, is it in the world? It was there, that spirit of Antichrist was there in John's day. And oh, how much more prevalent it is in the day and time in which we live. Which just signifies the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've said it before, I say it again. The apostles were looking for it in their day. Jesus had taught them to be looking for it, expecting it in their day. That was over 2,000 years ago. And if it was to, so then, if his coming was near then, how much nearer is it 2,000 years later? It is 2,000 years closer.
Amen.
Than it was then. Let us be growing. Let us be increasing. And that's going to be the theme. Through these verses 14, 15, and 16, growing, and verse 17 on through the end of the chapter. We get into verse 17. He just continues that thought. Be not as the unsaved. Be not as the unregenerate. And then he gives us some instances of how that this is how the unsaved are. This is how you were as an unsaved person. You ought to be this now. We'll be studying that throughout the end of this chapter. Shall we stand, be dismissed in a word of prayer.